Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, covering Lost.
Lost.
Lost again. We're back, guys.
We're back, baby. Yeah.
The first ever, well, not ever, but the first time since the summer we've all three been together to discuss a new episode of Lost.
And this is the first time we've discussed Lost in over almost 5 months, probably.
Wow. Yeah. It's a long time.
Yes, it's been a long time. So listeners don't know because the magic, we told you. But yeah, those episodes you've been listening to were pre-recorded. We recorded them before the strike. So this is the first time we've all been together to discuss Lost in a long, long time. Hopefully we still remember how to do it.
It's been a minute. I got to shake off the rust. Not going to lie.
I'm not confident.
Yeah. I'm also not confident because, as you guys know, we are switching PC setups, and you may have noticed that Madison's camera's not working.
Wait, what?
So we have a photo of her up instead.
No, it's because I showed up looking like shit, and I said, Steve, I need some help here. Please do not show me right now.
Steve called her out. He's a diva director. Yeah. And he was like, no.
He said, fashion police, what the fuck are you wearing?
You show up to my set wearing a holy tank top with mustard stains? No, Madison.
What can I say? I had a rough night, you know?
Yeah, so it's definitely Madison here. It isn't an AI machine that we program Madison's voice into. This is really her. It's just the photo you see.
See, my hands look fine in that picture, so you know it's real.
Yeah, we'll see how this episode goes.
Yeah.
We got... all this new technology in the room that we don't know how to use yet.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, it's definitely developing. Mm-hmm. I'm currently mid-anxiety attack, so we'll see. I'm okay. You don't have to look concerned. This is how I navigate my world usually. It's real sad. I might burst into tears about something at an unforeceen
it's
point.
It's good for the content. It's good for content.
He's really into Saeed. I didn't know. He's weeping openly.
Stupid, sexy Saeed. I get it. But for the content,
getting back in was tough because I had to kind of look up the names of some of these characters a little bit, remember their backstories as best I could. But
yeah, because
I think I'm back in the groove.
Because again, if you don't remember, I've seen all of Lost. Kit and Madison have seen none of it, and they did not continue watching during the strike. So that you guys, when we came back to Lost, we would still have that shtick going.
Yeah.
And which was really tough.
You guys have had 5 months off of a very highly addictive serialized mystery show.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it would be very, I imagine it would be tough getting back in.
It's tough. It's like heroin, you know, Lost. And then you cold turkeyed me. And now my tolerance is low. I don't remember what's going on.
I will say I liked how I had to go back and watch episodes 6 and 7 because I was not on those episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was kind of in the routine of watching when I started taking notes for episode 8. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I have some help.
You're so back.
Yeah.
Me, I was out there. I feel like I was on a different island.
You were like, what happened?
I was like, I saw Wilson and Tom Hanks and was like, hello?
What's going on? Right,
wrong island. But that's what we're doing. We've never seen the show before. Steve's guiding us through these mysteries. We've got some fun stuff. If you're newer to the Lost listening, we'll do a play-by-play, scene-by-scene reaction and recap. And then we've got some fun games at the end, some segments. We got Beach Please.
Beach Please.
Which is a segment where Steve kind of enumerates some behind-the-scenes trivia for this particular episode, if there is any, which he's in charge of because looking up that kind of stuff might be spoilery.
It's spoilery, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of each episode. And then the Passenger Princess, our favorite performance of the episode. And capping it all off is the Lost and Found section, where we kind of keep track of the mysteries that have been unveiling throughout the show. What has been answered? What is still unanswered? And at the end, ideally, we'll have a tally of questions that were never answered, because that's kind of one of the big criticisms that I hear about this show. And we're going to know once and for all, is that true?
Is it true? Is it Chris? If that even is your real name?
It's not. We're the Mythbusters of serialized television. Wait, aren't they the Mythbusters of serialized television?
Yes, they are. Yeah. They are. It's in the name, Chris.
That's a serialized television show. Anyhoozle.
Before we get into it, I do have something I want to share with you guys.
Okay.
We got...
Is this a Christmas bonus?
Mail, baby.
We got mail.
Here's the mail. Hey, that's copyrighted.
But it didn't stop you from singing it the last 10 times. So if you guys weren't aware, we do have a P.O. box. You can mail that to, the details of which are in the show notes. But we got a nice little Lost-themed message.
Ooh.
Here is the card. It says... Feeling grateful for you. There's a little hedgehog.
Aww, sweet.
With some Thanksgiving, like a pumpkin pie, it looks like. We are recording this just mere days after Thanksgiving. Mm. So
yes.
We all had a happy one if you celebrate. This comes in from Peggy Ann. Peggy Ann writes, Kit, Steve, and Madison, I am grateful for you and Streaming Things. I am so happy I found the podcast last year when searching for a podcast that covered the new episodes of Stranger Things. Kit and Steve. It has been wonderful listening to you guys and laughing along while you recap shows like Hot D and Last of Us. Madison, it has been a joy having you join for Yellow Jackets and Lost. With the end of the SAG strike, I look forward to listening to you all covering new shows and movies and any of the ones that release during the strike. With love, Peggy. And Peggy did send us some Lost Funko Pops.
Oh, shut up.
That I cannot share with you because it's a spoiler because they're characters that have not shown up in the show yet.
Oh,
so, Peggy, I have those. They will be given to Kit and Madison when we come across those characters.
Okay.
So that'll be fun to kind of wait for.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Peggy. That's so sweet.
I bet it's like a creature or something.
Right. Mm. It better be the polar bear.
Polar bear pop?
Polar bear pop, yeah.
He's cracking a Coca-Cola on the island somewhere right now, I bet. They don't have those commercials anymore, do they?
It's the French woman that's sending out the signal. She comes back.
Omelette de fromage.
So well, thank you, Peggy. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. This is episode 8, Confidence Man. Mm. We're all back in. Let's solve this mystery right now. The earliest solvers of Lost ever. We're going to call it at the end of this episode what the show is about, Madison. You ready?
I'm ready.
Hopefully you've got your theories cooking.
I'm here.
We're done.
I'm here. I'm ready.
So let's start this off, of course, with our overall thoughts.
Overall thoughts.
We'll go around the table, talk about some initial spoiler-free thoughts on the episode. You know, what do we think of it? Madison, let's start with you. Episode 8, what'd you think?
I had a good time. I was excited to, I kind of knew walking in that this was going to kind of hover over Sawyer's story a little bit. So, and up until this point, Sawyer hasn't been one of my fave characters, and I think that's on purpose.
No. Yeah.
The writers are purposely making him a crappy character, which I can recognize, but still.
Is he a crappy character or a interesting character with a crappy disposition?
You love to hate him, and right now I am loving to hate Sawyer. So I knew that we were going to kind of dive more into his character. And I think also as well, knowing that this episode had been on hold because of the strike, I was very excited to kind of jump back in. And you guys had done coverage of episode 6 and 7. And so I kind of already knew a little what those episodes entailed. So it was just kind of like, this is going to be my first episode back. And I was really excited. And it didn't disappoint. You know, I had a good time with it. So,
Steve, what about you? Revisiting episode 8.
So this episode, I gotta be honest with you, it isn't my favorite episode of Lost. It's the first episode where I feel there's a little bit of a dip in the quality of writing. Mm. And a big part of that, and we'll get into it with the recap, and a big part of that is a lot of this episode centers around characters sort of flipping morality scales in one episode.
Yeah.
And it feels like the actions that they take is something that doesn't happen this early in a show. This is like end of the season type shit. Like, we're going to torture somebody. Like, it just seems like a very big leap to get to where they go. And it's like all this drama kind of ratchets up in a kind of a not as realistic of a way as I think it could be. And so that's why, for the most part, I think this episode, I mean, it's still a pretty good episode. I like learning more about Sawyer. He's a very interesting character. But I do think they kind of linger a little bit too much on him in scenes going like, like, it's, he seems very juvenile in this episode and not, I'm not sure, because they're trying to make him sympathetic and not like quite as evil as you maybe have thought up to this point, but they kind of do it in a way, I don't know if they succeed in making you feel that, at least in this first crack at the character. I mean, we're going to come to Sawyer, they're going to come at Sawyer a lot throughout the season and expand him a lot more, and he's going to grow and grow and grow and be more interesting. But I think that this first crack at it, they don't quite nail it, and he comes off a little bit like, I'm a sad boy with a tiny wiener. Yeah, because
which
I mean,
that is proven.
Yeah, Kate said it was pretty cold.
Yeah,
it's pretty cold,
and
in the
it's
waters.
Not cold. It's a hot beach.
It is. Kate, what did you think?
I agree with both of you. I'm like Madison, very excited to dive back into the show with you guys. And I think a lot of that excitement kind of bled into watching the show. So I had fun. You know what I mean? It's like, ooh, I'm watching Lost again. I'm taking notes. I'm tippity-typing.
Tippity-typing.
Look at me go.
Bebopping on the keyboard.
Yeah. Boop, boop. But also, I do think this is probably the worst episode of Lost that I've seen so far. And for all the reasons that Steve talked about. But, you know, there's also some like some straight up early aughts. I don't know. I mean, who am I to say, right? Just a white guy, but pretty racist or xenophobic characterization of Saeed, I felt like, in this episode. You know what I mean? It was just like, oh, I'm Iraqi. I know how to torture people. It's like, I feel like Americans do that at least as much. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
As far as the military goes and waterboarding and all that. And not to get too much into the weeds there, but it just seemed like a weird thing to have your character do. Like, your Iraqi character is just like, I tried to stop killing and torturing, but I just keep falling back into it because that's what I do. You know what I mean?
That's
just
what, like, I do best.
When I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
And I was like, oh, man.
Like, you got any reeds here? Oh, no, but we got bamboo. If we didn't have reeds, I wouldn't know what to do. That would be awesome, you guys.
These aren't my normal torturing tools. Anyway, so that, yeah, little stuff like that, I just felt like. And Steve, you described it in a better way, though, like these huge morality flips. That are typically saved for toward the end of a season. We're all like, even for Jack and a ton of people were just thrown in here. Right. And it was a little much, but also fairly entertaining still. And it's the type of show, and since it's all done now, you can just dive right back in and keep going, baby. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But let's dive right in scene by scene. Let's do this. The episode opens with Kate finding Sawyer's undies on the beach. Doesn't say what kind. I don't know if they're tidy whities, if they're briefs, if they're boxer briefs. Might be a thong.
Fruit of the Loom.
Ooh.
I think it was Fruit of the Loom because she was holding bananas.
Oh.
she had some very, very, those bananas were too ripe. They were green as her shirt.
Yeah.
They weren't going to taste good no matter what. But yeah, I think it.
Not ripe enough, you mean.
I think the symbolism there is that Sawyer wears Fruit of the Loom.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see it.
I'm more of a Hanes guy myself. I was forced to choose. But he comes out of the ocean nude as the day was born. He's wearing his birthday suit only. And I gotta say, guys, did you guys clock Kate's flickering eyes?
I was like, Kate, you're gazing a little hard there,
she
honey.
She was on Peter Beach and and excited about it.
Ooh.
Because I understand one. Like, you gotta, it's human nature. What kind of dick you got?
Well, he's not like hiding it, so.
Right.
Let me see that dick.
But the second look down is like, I didn't mind what I saw kind of thing. That's the vibe I was getting.
The first look down was like, is he naked? Oh my God, he is. The second was like, is he naked?
It was like, is that a dick? Yes, it is. Oh,
a good one. It's like,
oh, all
that,
right.
That or she really legit was like, man, it must be cold.
Or, yeah. Or she's like mentally comparing to all the other wieners and like, no, I'm pretty sure that's really small.
Like, I'm just trying to, I mean, her, how they interact this entire episode is a little interesting to me. Cause that's another reason why I'm like, what are Kate's intentions with him? And like this starting off, I just was like, I thought she hated him. And yet she's like checking out his dick. I don't know. I just am like, Kate, what's going on? What's going on in your head, man?
Classic enemies to lovers, Madison.
Yeah. I guess you're right. Opposites attract.
You know?
I guess you're right.
They're both on the wrong side of the law. And when you find yourself in that position, you know, you see like-minded individuals like yourself.
Maybe it's not opposites attract.
Maybe it's just like, hey, you want to break some laws in certain states together?
You
want
to Bonnie and Clyde this shit, man?
Ooh.
I just watched that. The 1967 version with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. Yeah.
Nice.
Neither here nor there.
I'm a big fan of the Bonnie and Clyde musical.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not familiar.
Yeah, it was very short-lived, but I love it. Anyway.
You know, he takes it really well, though, for like her being like, you have a really little dick. He's like, well, why don't you make it bigger?
Exactly. That's why he's the confidence man.
That's right. That's right.
He's got to have that confidence.
Yeah.
That's what the show's really about. Not the fact that he was a con man.
No. It's just that he has such unwarranted confidence as a man.
Doesn't get phased when his penis is called small.
That's right. And we cut straight to from there to a flashback, and it's Sawyer using that little dick. but then he's late for a meeting, and he's got a suitcase full of money. He yanks it off, dumps it out. Very clearly... on purpose, accidentally.
Did I do that?
Oops, I dropped all my money.
I dropped all the money.
Hope nobody claps my cheeks when I pick it up.
I'm late for an important meeting where you have $300,000, but I don't have that much. Does mommy have that much? That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is Jessica he's talking to. He's conning a young woman named Jessica.
Yes.
Yes.
He wants to use her as a dish.
Yeah, he pretends
for hot chocolate.
I don't think he explains it here where he talks about the oil scam and stuff. I think it's in the next flashback.
Yeah,
but,
yes.
Yeah. But he has that line where he's like, why don't you order? She's like, I'll order room service for us. He's like, order a hot fudge sundae and I'll use you as a dish. It's like, that would burn her if it was hot.
Yeah. How hot is this fudge? Get real. We cut back to the island. Sawyer's running through the woods. And then he finds Boone going through his stuff.
It's my stuff, bro.
That beautiful man.
Ian Somerhalder, what are you doing with my stuff?
Like, I would have stopped like, oh my God, Boone, those eyes.
You can have whatever you want.
I thought we were lost in the jungle, but now I'm just lost in your eyes.
They just start making out heavily.
Madison, quit reading my fan fiction.
You send me the link every week. What am I supposed to
do? One of her thoughts.
You're the only one who would appreciate it.
Sorry, I'll stop outing
you. There's a pirate scene next week.
Madison's like, I got an idea. Pirates show up to the island.
They give everyone pirate outfits, and then there's an orgy.
And they take
Madison
them off.
Quit pitching that. Every week you come in here.
I'm sorry.
J.J. Abrams won't respond to my emails.
I keep changing the subject line and he just won't respond.
Jack is tending to Saeed's wounds, who got like knocked out at the end of episode 7,
mm-hmm.
But doesn't know who hit him. And then Boone shows up hurt. He's like, Sawyer beat me up. And then we get Lost, the title. Floating across the screen like a Windows 95 screensaver. Not going to lie. It's like bouncing off the edges and stuff. Like that's their...
With the word art.
This show needed a really solid theme song and entrance and like title card sequence. You know what I mean? Like it deserved that.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of like the idea that it's this vague, ambiguous, just weird droning noise with like the... I like how simple it is. Like we're not giving you a hint.
Does it stay the same throughout...
Yeah,
all the seasons.
That the whole run of the show, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
yep. Interesting. Wow. Then Charlie, I forgot her name. I'm so sorry. I don't want to start
Claire.
Claire. I don't want to go through a whole another episode calling her Preggers. So Charlie's delivering water to Claire. She wants to be on the beach. She's on beach crew, but she's more happy about it. You know, she just wants to be rescued.
Her job is beach.
Shannon, it's true. Boone's sister, Shannon, has severe asthma. We're just now finding out. And she's out of her inhaler. And they think Sawyer must have the inhalers because he's reading Watership Down, a really
good Boone's book,
a really good pick me up book to have on the beach. but also, yes, it's Boone's book. And he's like, and I had her inhalers along with that book in my suitcase. Right. Mm-hmm.
I do like Boone's line where he's like, yeah, Shannon had asthma. She's been sneaking hits when no one's looking because I guess breathing isn't cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's really embarrassed to breathe. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. She's stuck in like middle school, right? Like, I don't want anybody to know I have an inhaler.
Yeah. If everyone knows I have a debilitating illness, they'll think I'm not cool.
Mm-mm. That's gross.
Yeah.
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 It gives me the ick just thinking about it.
Oh.
Sometimes you wheeze when you breathe. Nasty.
Ew.
As someone with asthma, yeah, it's true. It sucks.
And Sawyer's also reading like some kind of letter that he keeps tucking away into his pocket. And then he calls the cave, the Commie Sharefest in Cave Town.
Yeah.
Which is a country song he's working on. That Commie Sharefest in Cave Town is not my style.
He's working with Charlie.
Parents are dead, got a little dick, stuck on a beach.
But not in Comic Cave Town.
Want a kiss from Kate.
I love that.
Yeah. Try that in a cave town.
I love that. Yeah, Jack just goes rifling through his stuff looking for the inhalers because Jack has no, he has no time to play these Sawyer games.
Yeah, you're trying to beat up Boone for this? What are you going to do to me? Nothing.
Nothing. I'm out of breath already. Maybe I need the inhalers.
That's I'm why he's wheezing. So frantically finding the inhaler.
I just found out there's inhalers here. That's what I've needed this
whole time.
Whole goddamn time. Captain's up there.
Kate shows up and breaks up the fight before Jack and Sawyer get into it. And then we get another flashback. This time it's when he explains his scam to Jessica, the young woman. I'm supposed to close a deal in Baton Rouge. It's an oil deal. Everybody likes to invest in oil rigs. It's super above board. Don't worry. So he's basically his whole scam is that he's got $140,000. He needs $300,000 to buy into the instant double up oil rig. And then someone will give him $160,000 and he just skips town with the whole thing. Right. That's what I'm picking up at least.
Was that ever an actual like scam that people did? Like invest in the oil rig right now. It's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm an oil man.
This is when the Nigerian prince scam became like gauche. Mm.
I feel like there has to be a scam along those lines.
And then he does steal their money and then pops back up. And I imagine he says something like, I drank your milkshake. I drank it up.
Yeah, the whole time I was waiting for the scene where it's revealed that his buyer is Daniel Plainview.
Oh, that's not
I'm an oil man.
Kate offers to talk to Sawyer and because Jack's like, I would kill him, but I'm not a savage yet. So he's acknowledging they're all getting more and more savage.
I've read Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, I know what
that doesn't happen until chapter 10.
Look, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
But I'm not there yet.
Yes, Kate thinks she can talk to Sawyer because he thinks they have a connection. And Jack's like, you do? Yeah. Do you? Kate.
What?
Babe.
What are you talking about?
I thought we had a connection.
Yeah, we were going to build infrastructure together all night.
You told me about your drapes.
You helped me out of that cabin. I thought we had something.
So she goes to talk to Sawyer. He's chopping wood. He's not doing a great job.
Oh, what's the form he should have? Let me know.
I mean, just in general, he's just really hacking away.
See, this is the shit that makes me hate him.
See, yeah, I'm with you.
Not like, chopping that wood right, man.
If you got small wood, you got to chop wood better.
You got to compensate.
Everybody knows.
They should rename this episode The Compensate Man.
That's right.
They should have.
Mm. Yeah.
So he offers her a deal.
I'll include that in my email to J.J. Abrams next time.
He will give her the inhalers for a kiss. In return for a kiss.
For a kiss.
Just a kiss. And then she brings up the paper.
Give me a kiss on my lips.
Give us a kiss.
Give it a kiss right up here. Give me a kiss.
I just think that's so icky.
It's intentional.
It is so
weird. It's intentional. He's not supposed to be a likable guy.
I know.
Big silly pants.
I'm falling into the trap.
But even Kate, to your point, Madison, even Kate's like, hey, I don't buy your act, man. Nobody's that gross.
Yeah. Somebody's trying to breathe and you're trying to steal a kiss from me. Nobody, like, you're trying too hard to be evil. Like nobody's that gross.
I see you read that little piece of paper like little baby.
She's like, Harvey Weinstein's in prison. No one else out here would ever do that.
Also, Kate is giving Shaggy this whole episode.
From Scooby-Doo?
Yes. She's wearing a green top with brown pants. Does she not?
Oh my God,
that's
yes.
That was my immediate
yes.
thought. I was like, that's Shaggy.
Jinkies.
We're doing crossovers.
I mean, I was wearing a green top with brown pants like 2 days ago.
And you were giving Shaggy.
You were giving Shaggy.
I guess I was giving Shaggy. Yeah. That's a really solid color combo, like khakis with like an army green, you know?
I think that is just like stapled as Shaggy Rogers.
You're being defensive right now, Kit.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
What's wrong with Rogers?
Shaggy Rogers, yeah.
Oh, is it?
I thought.
I didn't know that.
Millennials don't know their last names. What's Velma's last name?
Jinkies.
Velma Jinkies.
Velma Jinkies.
When everyone, that makes sense. When everyone yells Jinkies, they're just calling for Velma.
Yeah.
Jinkies, get in here.
Shaggy Rogers.
I believed you. I just had never heard that.
Velma's last name.
Now I'm curious. What's all their surnames?
Yeah.
Velma Dinkley.
No.
Yeah.
Jinky Dinkley?
Jinky Dinkley.
What about Daphne?
Daphne.
Fuck Fred. Nobody cares.
Fred Chad.
I guess I don't know if Daphne has a last name.
Ooh, Velma wants to give her one. Yes, it's going to be Dinky.
Daphne Dinkley. Ooh. Oh, Daphne Blake.
Mm,
Daphne boring. Blake. And then.
What's Scooby-Doo's last name? Is Doo his last name?
I
or
think
his middle
it
name?
Is.
Hubro.
Yeah, it has to be because they're
and
Scrappy
then
Doo.
Fred Jones.
Mm. Womp womp.
Isn't that a serial killer's name?
Such a white name.
It does sound like a serial killer.
A white man name.
All the bodies that Fred Jones
hey,
hid.
Hey, gang, we're going to find out who killed everybody in the house. It wasn't me. I have a kerchief.
It's a cravat.
Sorry. When you said Kate in this episode was giving Shaggy, I just my first thought was Kate was walking around going, wouldn't me?
Hold on.
Oh, the other Shaggy? Yeah. It wasn't me.
So Scooby's last name is Doo. Scooby
right. Doo. Confirmed.
And then Shaggy's not Shaggy's real name. Norville is Shaggy's real name.
Norville Rogers.
N-O-R-V-I-L-L-E.
Yeah, Norville Rogers.
Norville Rogers, Fred Jones, Daphne Blake, and Velma Dinkley.
Wait, so.
Well, my boy Norville made a great choice for that
Shaggy, he's Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mr.
Like,
Jones,
it's
Ms.
a beautiful
Blake,
day in the neighborhood, Scoob.
So,
not to get sidetracked or anything.
No, not even a little bit.
That was a great digression.
But anyway, Kate is giving Shaggy. And I'm here
I thought
for
that
it.
Was a sex move I wasn't aware of. And I was like, I didn't see anything in the episode where she was giving somebody some Shaggy. So she brings up the paper he's been reading, which makes him very angry. And he's like, oh, yeah, read it. She's like, I don't want to.
Shut up and read it out loud.
It's a song I've been working on. I need your feedback out loud. And it's you killed my parents, Mr. Sawyer, which is like that.
my note says it's a you had sex with my mom note.
Yeah. He's still tore up about that guy that banged his mom. But we think somebody wrote it to him at this point in the episode.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's like, now, how about that kiss? And she's like, that note did nothing for me.
You did. Was that supposed to put me in the mood?
She said no.
Like, oh, you're so good in bed, you got a family killed, an orphaned a child. That's how. I don't think this is the brag you think it is, sir.
So then, where do we go after this? I need to pivot. we cut to Locke sharpening stakes. He's making traps for boars, right? And Saeed questions him about his whereabouts.
And vampires.
Could be possible vampires on the island. He's getting ready for anything. And this is part where it's not a huge deal, but it's a part and parcel of like what the issues that Steve was talking about. Like this whole conversation just kind of bothered me. Two characters that I love having like the dumbest conversation ever.
It is pretty stupid.
Anybody who's ever watched TV knows how to improvise a slow fuse.
Right.
Do they?
And also like it doesn't make sense because like. Well, maybe it does because Sawyer's thing was supposed to go off first, right? Then Shannon's, then Saeed's.
I have no memory.
But also what I don't understand is Saeed didn't know that Kate left, right? I mean, I guess he does now.
He does now,
but
yeah.
In the moment, you know, if Sawyer was the only one. So I guess.
Well, I don't even remember what happened in that episode. Like Sawyer did stay by his rocket, did he not? Or is he the one that left?
Yeah.
No, okay. So Boone left, but left Shannon in charge. So Shannon launched their rocket.
That's right.
Kate left to go take care of Jack, but Sawyer stayed to launch his rocket, and then Saeed launched his and got hit in the head.
Yeah.
So Sawyer definitely didn't do it. We know that, right?
Yeah. And at first, Saeed's like, yeah, it couldn't have been Sawyer. He actually has an alibi. But Locke's like, yeah, he could have made a really long fuse and then trekked a couple miles to knock you down.
It seems...
A slow fuse. A lit cigarette will do the job.
It's too niche of an explanation.
And the only one based on...
Sawyer doesn't have... He does not seem to have the gumption... Every time we see Sawyer, he's sitting on his chair reading Watership Down. He doesn't seem like the guy who's like, now Freckles is gone. I'm going to fashion me a long fuse.
Right.
I just want to read my letter and make out. That's all I want to do.
He's a simple man.
Maybe start a black market island wares shop.
Sell computers that can't be used.
I'm an entrepreneur. That's all. But the only person who has the motive to not want them rescued is Locke, that we know of, right?
In theory, yeah.
Yeah.
But I also don't think Locke would get in the way of other people being saved. He just would probably be like, all right, you guys have fun. I'm going to stay here.
I like it here.
Yeah. I can walk here. I'm good. Yeah.
I love polar bears.
I mean, I will say like this conversation in retrospect, like it could have been a ploy for us to like maybe look into Locke in that way to be like, oh, maybe he's like kind of sabotaging everyone's view of him, even though he's kind of the one that wants people to stay. But I don't know.
I just think with the information that we have, things more point to Locke, and he's more capable of stuff like that too. You know, we've already seen he can take down a boar.
But it ends with him giving Saeed one of his knives, one of his 48 knives.
Yes.
As protection. just in case you need to torture a man.
In case you get hit from behind unawares. Now you could be unconscious with a knife
on the ground.
You know, it's not like he lost a fight. He just got hit.
He got sucker punch from behind.
It's like the knife will do nothing.
You can fall on your knife next time and save yourself the embarrassment.
I'm not giving you a sheath.
Not to keep talking about this, but Saeed was in an open field, correct? Mm. How did he not hear or see somebody creeping up behind him?
Could it be something supernatural? Could it be
the French woman? They're so swift and silent, the French.
It could be. It could be a lot of things.
The last thing.
Maybe it's a ninja.
The last thing you'll hear is haw.
if you're in the dark and you hear a baguette, you're done for.
French wine is too rich for English bellies.
He was hit with a baguette.
I was going to say, we know it's not the French people because he wasn't hit with a baguette.
Maybe he was.
It's a very stale baguette.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how they like it.
We baked this 2 weeks ago. Just kidding. It was yesterday and it's already stale.
Yes.
That's why we were exiled, because we didn't know how to cook bread.
Sorry, all our French listeners.
Sorry.
We cut to Shannon having an asthma attack. Jack asks Sawyer for the inhalers a second time. And he doesn't come off because he's in there getting water or something in the cave. Mm-hmm. And then Jack hits him twice and Sawyer just takes it because he's a masochist. Yeah. You know, he's like, hey,
he wants to be punished.
Is that all you got? I hate myself. Nobody hates me more than me.
You can't hurt me. Only I can hurt me.
Yeah. Look at my letter.
He just does that every time someone comes. My letter. I'm a bad man.
Read it. We got to another flashback and it's more of him conning the woman. This time he's at dinner with the husband. I don't really know.
Now, like, he's got the wife to help him con the husband.
Right, but what's the dynamic here? It doesn't explain what she told the husband, how she even knows this guy. Oh, I ran into him at the gas station, and I got a sweet deal for us.
She mentions that they work together at the dealership.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I assume she works at a car dealership and
something along those lines, yeah.
Like, you've never talked about this very handsome man with slick-backed hair and a suit working at the car dealership.
We definitely weren't banging.
Not at all.
I met him at work. And
if there's anyone on this earth,
Sawyer's gay. He did eat
chocolate fudge off my body,
but
not in a sexual way.
But like as a friend.
Yeah.
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 Come
on. We're all adults. We've all done that to each other.
Who has not done that? Yeah. We do that all the time. Every time Steve and I go to Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Whoo boy. Love Dairy Queen.
I could turn you upside down with that blizzard.
I supply the ice cream and you guys just go at it.
That's what we do.
And Madison sits in her corner and writes her fan fiction.
Yeah.
That's true.
My insane emails to J.J. Abrams.
It's good inspo. But the husband's not into it. Not the ice cream thing, the plan. But then he does more con man tricks and ropes him in like, oh, fine. I'll just pay for dinner and leave with the $300.
Well, he also offers like, hey, why don't I give you the money, my half of the money? and you can hang out with it,
look roll at around it. Onto with it, it,
yeah, smell it,
yeah,
taste it,
whatever you guys
stick
are into.
It in your pants, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You get it for the night, mm-hmm. and you know if that doesn't convince you that I'm on the up and up, I don't know
what would. What else would?
I already did the ice cream thing to you.
Since when does a stranger with a briefcase full of money not make your life better every single time you run into one?
Yeah, if money...
You make a fair point.
If money comes into your worldview in a suitcase, something bad has happened or is about to happen.
Unless you find it in an Airbnb.
No. That's
describing... literally the plot of No Country for Old Men.
I was about to say, you were describing No Country for Old Men. And that didn't work out for anybody.
He could have got away with it. He was a little faster.
Yeah.
You know? Thought experiment here. You go down to Miami... Right? Whatever. Like you do.
Red flag.
Solo. You're alone.
Red flag.
Okay.
You're just looking for some beach strange. Your job is beach.
Okay.
Okay. You go to fucking Portland, Oregon. Okay. You're trying to go to the museum.
I want to go back to Miami.
Okay. We're back in Miami. You're on South
Where
Beach.
It's warm.
You're in your little Airbnb hotel thing.
Okay.
You unpack your bags. You get out on the beach. You meet a couple ladies and dudes. You know what I mean? Have a few drinks. Come back. Wash the sand out of the back of your knees where it gets stuck.
Out of the crack.
Come out. Yeah. You're in a towel. You put some underwear on. You go to the closet to make, hey, do they have a boogie board here? Here's a suitcase full of money.
You didn't say there was a boogie board involved.
Here's a suitcase full of money.
Just left in my room?
Yeah. It's just sitting there. What do? You don't take it? It's got $500,000 in it.
But
what that looks like.
What if that's part of the owners of the Airbnb? What if that's their cash money?
It's not an Airbnb. It's a hotel.
It's a hotel.
Oh, well, then I take it.
There's money in there.
Right? You kind of have to.
I don't think I would.
Really?
Because
walk me through this.
Whoever it is, just has $500,000 in a briefcase, it clearly is not legal money.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, if I were to take it, whoever it was, whatever power they have to have $5,000 in a briefcase, could look up who lives and who was in that room, and then they would know who I am, and then they would come after the money.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm
not taking that.
I know you meant to say $500,000, but you said $5,000.
Yeah. Whoever's got $5,000.
Whoever's got $5,000 in a briefcase. Can ruin worlds.
$5, man. I don't know.
It's the recession.
Sometimes I don't. I believe I say something when in reality my brain meant something else.
I know we're digressing a lot, but I think about this all the time. Like if I found a bag full of money on the side of the road.
Now that's different. Like if there's nothing tying me to where the money is, then yes, I will take it. But if it...
So you're just scared of reprisal. There's no moral like objection to taking the money.
No, because no. I don't want to be associated with money that I don't know where it came from.
Sure.
Especially if my name is connected to the room that the money is in. I think I would take it to the front desk and be like, look, this was in my room. Take it.
Well, if it's not claimed in 30 days, it's mine kind
of
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that would happen, but
look into it.
I've thought about it. I've fantasized about this all the time.
If it's in a hotel room that my name is associated with, no.
But what if it's like tied to your friend's name? Then you take it?
Still no. Still
them.
Probably not.
I'm calling my lawyer immediately.
If it was somebody that I had just met for the first time, maybe I'd think about it.
Dang.
It's like under your boss for work got you a hotel. You're like, oh yeah, that's mine. Yoink.
Yeah.
Are you taking like 10 grand and then turn it into the front desk?
I could take a little bit. Take 50
You take
grand.
Like $100 bill off of every single like wrapped pile of money in there. I mean, that's going to equal a good chunk of change.
I think
I
would take $50,000 to like have like a.
I'm booking it.
40, you know, 450,000.
Welcome to our new podcast, Suitcase Full of Money.
That's actually not a bad podcast idea, like scenario ideas.
Moral Dilemmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a game called Moral Dilemmas. We could play it on the show.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
I'm calling my lawyer. That's my answer to every single moral dilemma.
Anyway, thank you for that. I loved talking that through.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to see what was going on with Suitcase Guy. But anyway, husband feels the same way. What could be wrong? He's going to let me hold this money. I think I'm going to do it. We go back to the island. Charlie and Claire are talking about different things that they miss from real life. His are always food. I don't know what banoffee pie is, but he misses it. Is anybody else familiar with banoffee pie?
Not familiar.
Neither am I.
I feel like it is a European
thing. Australians don't like peanut butter. Because Claire claims to be the only Australian that likes peanut butter.
An Aussie pie is a British dessert pie made from bananas, whipped cream, and a thick caramel sauce combined either on a buttery biscuit base or one made from crumbled biscuits buttery and biscuit. Butter.
It sounds good.
It looks good. Good. I mean, I'm looking at this photo. It kind of looks like a...
I like nenes. I
mean, it's a lot of bananas.
I like nenes.
Check that out. Oh, yeah.
Check that out.
Banoffee.
He gets that specially ordered before every Drive Shaft show.
You all, everybody.
You all, everybody.
And Claire misses peanut butter. Every other good Australian in the world, when offered peanut butter, says, no.
Is that a thing? Like, all our Australian listeners write and let us know. Do Australians hate peanut butter?
I love peanut butter, by the way. So watch your mouth.
I don't know.
Before you write in those anti-peanut butter emails.
Well, she's also super pregnant, so I'm sure her cravings are like
insane. That's what he says. Insane. You got to be craving some stuff. Maybe some Charlie. I don't know. And then we cut back to Shannon having another like panic attack / asthma attack. And Jack's like, breathing is in your head. Just do it.
Yeah, this is. So I was watching this episode with Erica, who is a nurse. And she's like, that's not how asthma works.
Yeah.
Breathing. And as someone who has asthma, I was also like, I don't think anyone can just like, hey, idiot, have you ever thought about breathing?
Yeah. If you weren't such a bitch, you could breathe, Steve.
Now, I get what.
And then he leaves and says, do not let her panic.
Yeah, they try to make this thing.
Also, not how panic works.
She's not actually having an asthma attack. She's having a panic attack, which is inducing her asthma. That's what they're trying to say. But, and I'm sure that could happen.
Yeah.
If someone like has anxiety, they can trigger their own. Asthma attack, but it's just funny that he's like, hey, nothing's fucking wrong with you, dummy. Just breathe.
You're overreacting. What the fuck?
I need Jack to come in here.
Breathe from these holes, all right? He points at his nose.
I need him to come in here and help me with my anxiety issues. Just yell at me and breathe hard.
Hey, idiot.
Be helpful.
I need him to choke me. And
okay. Go on, Madison. Right.
Okay.
No, I was saying that as you, like okay. For you.
Okay. Wink, wink, sure. Wink,
yeah, yeah.
A little Freudian slip there. Madison out of nowhere. Yeah, and he chokes me. Wait, what?
And then I get asthma all of a sudden.
The doctor's in.
The doctor's in. Hmm. Is it then?
But Hurley loves that shit. He's like, dude, that was a Jedi moment.
Yeah. Yoda. That very awesome. Yoda-esque. Yeah. Hurley was like impressed by that. None of us were.
Never would have thought to breathe.
We go back to Saeed chasing Jack out. And he's like, look, man, I think I got a waterboard saw here. Jack's like, okay, deal. Which is very random for both characters.
You read my mind. I want to do it too.
He's been hitting on Kate a lot. I'll allow it. This episode was brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, you know what's good for you, but your brain gets in the way and you just can't quite pull it off. Like when you're trying to fall asleep at night, you know, you got to get up at 7 a.m. You got to work. You want to go to the gym before work. But at 3 a.m., you're just thinking about hippopotamuses, hippopotami. I don't know how to pluralize it. It doesn't matter. You get the idea. So sometimes your brain's getting in its own way. You know what you should do, what's good for you, but you just can't do it. Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. You can help find the blocks in your life that are getting in your way. And BetterHelp can get you there. It can match you up with a licensed therapist to help meet your needs. If you don't like your therapist, you can switch free of charge at any time. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Gobble, gobble, stream fiends. It is the month of November, and thus comes Thanksgiving if you celebrate it here in the States. But it's a month where we want to take a step back and just really appreciate and be thankful for everything that we have here at Streaming Things. One of the many things that we are thankful for are our patrons at all tiers, but especially our super patrons, which we shout out each and every month here on the podcast. Let's get to it. We are thankful for you, Sydney B, Becky the Farmer, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Anthony Corona,
Infamous, Brenstradamus, it's a great name, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jace Gramo, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big But Horny Got an Upgrade, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadine Klitsch-Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. And with that, let's get back to the show. Gobble, gobble.
And so we cut to Charlie trying to get peanut butter from Hurley. And then he's like, oh, yeah, fat guy hoarding food. Real cool, Charlie. And he won't. Charlie won't let it go. He's like, OK, I get it. That's a little small minded to me. But seriously, where's the food that you're where's hoarding? I really want to impress my pregnant friend.
So similarly to what you said earlier, I feel like Charlie specifically is on like a full like 180 turn from where he was previous episode.
Because yeah, the last episode was the moth, right?
Yeah, he was like recovering.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
Really?
Because, yeah, like the as far as like withdrawing from drugs goes, I mean, that only it's like the worst pain you've ever felt, right? For like a few days, you know, and then it's physically it's over for the most part. A week tops. And that's only something like, not to get too in the weeds here, but something like methadone or something that stays in your system a longer time from like heroin, normal opiates. That's going to last a few days tops. And then your head's going to clear. You're going to feel a little better. And since there's like no drugs around, he's not going to be super right.
I guess
that.
I think just from where he was previous episode, if there was maybe like if Locke and him had a conversation to kind of like diffuse, like to kind of explain why he's not so.
I agree. In general, part of the problem with this episode is it's hyper focused on like three characters instead of touching base with everybody. Numerous like it normally does.
Yeah.
But also, what it does with those three characters, I don't like either. But yeah, you're right. There's like very little of Jen and Son, very little of Michael, very little of Charlie, very little of Locke. And it's like, dang.
So to Madison's point, if you go on the Lostopedia, it's the big like Lost fan Wikipedia, right?
That's the name.
Lostpedia. They actually break down each episode if you look them up, but they break them down by, okay, this is day whatever they are on the island.
Oh.
So currently, according to Lostpedia, this episode takes place over days 9 and 10 of them being on the island. The Moth, which is the previous episode where Charlie's going through relapse, takes place over day 8. So Charlie's relapse would have been yesterday in their time, which is kind of, it kind of speaks to Madison.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it would take a couple days to do a full, but I guess starting to relapse before that,
can
right?
Can I ask, is that fan?
Withdrawal, yeah.
Withdrawal, sorry, not relapse.
Is that a fan ran website or is that like canon?
It's like definitely a fan ran thing.
Okay.
It's like, I mean, it's like a Wikipedia.
But people that have watched the show 30 times.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, movie magic.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
A small thing, but there's a lot of smaller things that add up in this episode. I'm with you on this.
But I know we're always kind of wondering, like, how long have they been on the island so far? Apparently it's been 9 to 10 days at the end of this.
10 days at the end of this.
The drama.
Yeah.
Well, it takes 10 days to waterboard a guy.
I guess. Shit.
But Hurley does not have any food. Charlie finally is like, sorry. We cut to Michael trying to clean a fish. Not very good at it. And then Son is like, I can help the asthma. I heard you guys talking. I got just the trick. And then they knock Sawyer out. Is that the next scene, right?
Yeah, Sayid and Jack abduct Sawyer, yeah.
It's like, psst, hit him in the... I like TV too, by the way, where you can just like almost kill somebody with a pipe or a stick and it just knocks them out. And they wake up like, ugh, you got me.
You can give someone a serious head wound. It knocks them out for a little bit. And they're like, well, I woke up and I'm fine now.
I like the butt of the gun to the base of the neck in movies always gets me.
Yeah.
But they do one of those moves. And then Kate, bizarrely, she just says, Jack, if you do this, that's the line. That's it. That's all she says.
She was annoying me this whole episode just by how, I don't know. It's just like, meh. Kate, what are you doing?
Shaggy?
Shaggy, stop.
Shaggy?
get your Scooby snacks.
It does have to be this way. And then we get to the game we like to call Shoots and Fingers. It's like Shoots and Ladders. a little more torture-y. And then he's like, you don't know how to torture people. And then Saeed's like, unfortunately for both of us, you're wrong. Super good at it.
I was in the Iraqi Republican Guard, and part of the training was
torture.
Putting reeds in dudes' fingernails.
Yeah. As all white people know, I do this a lot. and then Sawyer's like, it tickles. No, it doesn't. And then Jack's like, I kind of like it because I hate this dude, but I kind of hate it.
I'm really glad
because I'm a good person.
I'm really glad that they didn't shy away from it actually hurting, because
that would hurt
so bad. I'm glad they didn't do, even for a second, they didn't really even do like Sawyer be like, is that all you got? But like when they're actually doing it, he's screaming. So
he's literally just taking these stakes and like putting them under his fingernails.
Yeah.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
Like when you ever like trying to pick something up and it slides into your fingernail? Oh, yeah. Owie.
Ooh. Yeah. Having something stuck in there.
Or like breaking a nail. Have either of you experienced that?
I have.
As a kid, I slammed my thumb in a car door and my whole nail fell off. My mommy was taking my shirt off
later.
That
sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. My mom, like, you're a kid. I was like a 4 or 5 years old.
Sorry, it took me a second to like connect the two parts of that story.
Like later, you know, I was taking bathy time.
Like my brain connected is like, well, my mom was taking my shirt off and I slammed the car door on me. Like, what? No. Was going on?
Later, thumbnail came off. I was like, bizarre feeling.
Yeah, that shit would hurt.
And we get to, where are we going here?
Oh, so Saeed's like, hey, if you won't talk, maybe I can just take an eye.
Oh, and then Sawyer's like, all right,
I'll talk, but only to Shaggy.
Yeah, that's right. He's only going to tell Kate. So then we get to another flashback, and it's Sawyer talking to the guy who fronted him the $140,000. And like, I'll fucking kill you if you screw this up, right? Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I do this all the time. And the only reason I don't have my own money is because I'm pretty bad with money in general after successful heists and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Sawyer's kind of laying down some misogyny here. He's like, hey, women are easy to con. Like, You just show them a few tricks in bed, and they think they're the mastermind.
All I do is lay sweet pipe, and I'm the Pied Piper, if you know what I'm saying.
The Pied Piper.
Back in the island, Kate shows up for the info, and he's like, still want that kiss? She's like, what?
He's like, I still want that kiss.
Give me a kiss on the lip.
And then he starts writing her another country song. Tied to a tree in the jungle of mystery. Tortured by a spinal doctor and a genuine Iraqi.
I love that line. I really do love the line of like, I'm tied to a tree on an island of mystery. Something about it is so.
It's a country song. He's working on.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're right. It does sound like he's about to.
He's a rookie poet.
He's like tied up, and he says that to him. He's like, wait, hold on. Can you grab a pen?
Can you write that down?
I need to write this down for when we get off the island. I got a hit on my hands.
That was hot fire.
Charlie, where you at with your guitar? Come over here, man.
She agrees to kiss him for the info, and it's like, I mean, straight tongue. It's not like immediate.
Yeah. They like went. Kiss. They went at each other, tongues out,
tongue
like,
first. I respect it.
She was like, eh.
Honestly, was really into that kiss. Let's all acknowledge that. And I think that's notes. What Madison. You don't like that, right?
No.
Yeah.
I'm falling into the audience majority here, where I'm like, I don't like Sawyer at this point. And the writing is working. His story of being a crappy person is working. But I do not like Kate with Sawyer. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah, my notes say like she agrees to kiss him. He looks sad for a moment. Tongue? That's more than a kiss, Kate.
I just am like, you were so repulsed by this man so like a couple episodes ago. And now you're like making out with him. It just, to me, I'm just like,
I don't think she was repulsed. I think she was resisting her natural urges as best she could.
That shot before she goes in for the kiss is that shot of Sawyer looking like a kicked puppy. So like he just looks so sad. He's like,
and they've set up the fact many times that not only is he probably not the bad person he pretends to be, but Kate is convinced that he's not. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so that's a huge part of it.
I think I'm also coming from this. Like, so Kate, I would say, is probably the only main female protagonist. Like as of right now,
My boy throw out Claire.
The pregnant woman that's trapped on the beach.
Pregnant woman that's been in four of the eight episodes. Yeah.
representation.
And so
Claire's biggest contribution to the show so far is Pregnant Lady Fall Down. And that was Walt.
Pregnant Lady Fall Down.
Not Pregnant Lady Fall Down. So I understand that this is early mid 2000s television where women
2004,
women characters and stories like this are, I don't want to say throwaways, but just like her actions are very,
we had Tomb Raider,
simple. And I do enjoy Tomb Raider. So it's really hard for me to watch this character who, I don't know, I just feel like there's more to her. She would be making better decisions, mm-hmm. and like, she wouldn't be getting played by him versus, you know what I mean? Like,
she's just trying to do what she can to save Shannon.
I know.
And why not have a little fun while you're doing it? You know,
the scene plays way differently if he's like, give me a kiss. And she just like, mwah, okay, inhalers.
Yeah.
Rather than.
Yeah. It was a while.
Being on the receiving end of that was so bizarre.
That was Kate's POV.
Yeah. No, that's kind of what I mean. Just like, you know, she's coming at it as though like she is interested romantically, even though he is a piece of shit. But in like, she's also making a point
this
with
way
Jack.
Too. Jack has been denying her the D. She's like, let me ride that. And he's like, hold up, I got an idea for a dam we should build.
But again, that's right? kind of where I'm coming from. It's like, you know, she is being used as a sexual object between these two men.
Yeah.
And like, so, okay, you're saying she can't get, or like she's being denied by the main guy. So you're looking at it, oh, her only, I agree, she is wanting to get the inhaler. She is wanting to help. But there's also like this secondary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Like, motive to
the only get thing some. She has to offer is her sexuality.
Exactly. Which I think underliningly I'm annoyed with in how they're writing this character.
I mean, I'm not going to defend that the throuple is like well conceived at this point. Again, I think it's the same issue as with the torture. I never thought I'd say this, but I think I feel the same way about the sex as I do the torture. Too early. torture.
I mean, do we know?
I don't think she's been like, I think this, the whole idea of, I think it's all tropes like that are still loved by a lot of female led fan fiction today, like the throuple, the enemies to lovers, like this is fucking Edward and Jacob 101 that we're witnessing right now. I don't see anything super like,
how dare you,
groundbreakingly offensive about it. I just feel like it's just poorly done. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. But again, like if you to go off that trope, it's like, in my opinion, I don't like it because it's like you're putting a woman in this situation where, oh, her only thing is, you know, choosing between these two men. When in reality, it's like, you don't have to choose either of them.
No. Mm-hmm. Claire and Shannon are right there. Son.
I think Jin. Kate could run this fucking town.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
She's already been, I think she's been pretty,
She has been.
She's done some cool stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to linger on this much longer.
No, I think it's super important, especially like a female perspective on this prominent female character.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't want to say that she's a complete throwaway of a character, but I just think this idea of she is, you know, I think the intensity of the kiss, the fact that, you know, Sawyer is this up until this point.
Schmuck.
Yeah. And she's kind of like leaning into like this idea, like, oh, I'm like, you know, kissing this guy and like whatever. To me, I don't really see that as like a pure, like if just what I know about Kate, I don't see that as something she would actually do. Like yeah. I would see it as what Steve said, where, you know, she's in it just to get the information, to get the medicine, and like just to like please this guy so she can like move on and like get to whatever needs to be done. So I think it just bothers me that like that's kind of where her motives are, or, and who's to say it is? I mean, maybe she's just touch deprived, which queen, I feel, I get it.
I mean, the setup's gross, right? Cause he's like, it's abusive to be like in return for a kiss. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he doesn't even have what they're looking for.
Yeah, like it's a complete trick. It's a super dated 90s, early 2000s toxic thing that we would never set up. And you're right. The scene would play way differently if it was like a, now tell me.
Now, this is one of those things. We talk about this a lot. I mean, the whole concept of what Sawyer's doing in this episode is something that, like, I know we've talked about this before, Kit. I think Madison's talked about it as well, where in like sitcoms and shows, there's sometimes they'll have a whole fucking episode dedicated to something that didn't even need to be a problem if people were just talking and just said, hey, I don't have it.
Yeah, that's a huge pet peeve of mine.
Don't beat me up. I don't fucking have the inhalers.
Right.
Like, we don't even have this whole scene or anything. And it's one of those things where, like, by the end of the episode, you see it coming, like, he doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. And then when he says, like, oh, I don't have the inhaler, it's like, okay, I knew that. And you just wasted all of our time.
This was a product of serialized television, right? Like, you don't really do this anymore, where
you have 20-something episodes
are airing as you're writing. Mm-hmm. And, like, whole plot threads will be dropped when you realize something's not working or the audience doesn't like it, or, you know, and you have to fill 41 minutes for each episode, and you have to have 22 episodes per season. No matter what the story demands, you have to fill that with stuff, you know? And I think a product of that is every now and then you get some shit episodes or some weird, some weird turns that they turn back, you know? There's some very dated male perspectives on the world being employed in this episode in particular, for sure. But I also, I guess all I was trying, I was never trying to talk over like a woman talking about a female character. I was just a little surprised because I'm like, it's just very poorly done. But like, I didn't think much of it in the context of all the other 2000s-y shit going on. And I feel like I've never seen Lost, but I think they're telegraphing Sawyer being a hero from a mile away. Like, he's going to have this major turn and they're probably going to have at least a fling, you know, like she's going to spend some time being like semi in love with Sawyer the way that she, you know,
right. I think that's, I agree with you. I think that is also kind of where he is, his path is going. I think there could have been a better way to kind of express.
No, there's nothing else they could have done.
Nothing else they could have done.
Other than him flashing his dick to her and tricking her into kissing him, like, how else do you even meet women? Like, I don't know. What are you saying right now?
You know, you're right.
You show him your dick.
Call her a nickname about her body.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Freckles.
Yeah.
Freckles.
Yeah. I'm partial to tits, but Freckles were.
Hey, tits. Hey, boobies. Ew, I hate that.
Boobies is worse somehow.
I hate boobies. I hate that word.
I'm going to quote you on that when you run for office. She said it. Madison hates boobies. So don't vote for her.
No, I don't hate boobies. I hate the word boobies. I love boobies.
Madison is pro breast cancer. Confirmed.
Dang. Son will fix it with some eucalyptus. Anyway.
Oh my God.
We get to, where are we at here? The kiss.
Wait, yeah, he doesn't have the inhalers. The book washed up on shore.
What?
Hold on. When he says he doesn't have it and Kate punches him, that is the Foley artist had a field day. It just was like, poof. Yeah. Did you not hear that?
Yeah, but she like elbow. Did she not like forearm?
No, it was so funny. She just like straight arm punched him in the face.
It's like the type of punch they do in Wes Anderson movies.
Yeah.
It was so funny. And then the noise was like, you have to rewatch it, or maybe I'm making shit up. But I watched it and I was just like, was there like a delay? Like, it just was so weird how
I remember
did
like
it.
The wet thwack, but from the side.
The wet thwack.
You know?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Anyway.
Yeah, she punches him and then Saeed runs in. They fight.
He's so mad. He doesn't believe that he doesn't have it. He's like, he's lying.
And they've been like He's been untying himself the entire time. So he suddenly busts out. They wrestle. And then Saeed stabs him right through an artery. That was pretty well done. Ooh. That bicep stab.
Yeah.
That was
it looked gross. Real. I was like, ah.
It was gross.
Ew. Is there an artery there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess so. I guess they're everywhere. I don't know.
Well, when you're like taking a pulse, that's a place where you can
take a pulse. Oh, you can do a bicep thing?
Yeah.
You can do that. Oh, no.
You didn't know that?
No.
There's three places you can check
your pulse. There's a groin. Pulse. I know that.
What?
There's a groin one.
Hold on, I gotta check your pulse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you still alive?
That's the fucking big one. That's the femoral or whatever.
I'm looking for it. Hold on. That's the big one. I'm looking for it. Where is it? I'm looking for it.
You're no. I don't feel anything.
What movie was I watching? Where they think the guy's dead and the firemen are there and then they have to check his groin because he's a really big guy and they can't get to his neck one.
Carotid.
Any who's
beats me, but yeah, your throat, your arm, and then your wrist. I learned that as a lifeguard.
I did not learn.
They
wouldn't
groin.
Teach you the groin one. No, that's expert level shit.
Yeah, you're not teaching teenagers the groin trick.
I was making minimum wage. I wasn't. They needed to pay me more.
That shit's like the G spot. It's hard to find, but it's down there somewhere.
Isn't that messed up? Like, hey, person who's in charge of saving lives, minimum wage for you.
Minimum wage.
It's probably not going to happen.
But if it does.
That's got to be the worst job.
What, lifeguarding?
Yeah, because like 80% of the, 90% of the days, you do nothing, right? You do get called into action, life or death. So you got to be ready at all times, but usually nothing happens.
Yeah, I mean, I worked for a private swim club.
Oh, like a firm? Like a secret lifeguard firm? You were like the John Wick of lifeguards?
I was the land lifeguard. I was just walking around monitoring.
Her job was beach.
Telling people to walk on the sidewalk.
No running.
Tweet. No, it was a boring job, but sometimes.
I did not know about the bicep artery, so that's.
Yeah, so he punctured real close. It was really disgusting.
Yeah, he's got that right away, and he was going to die. And so Jack's like got the artery pinched and says, go get my tools. Saeed.
She's just pinched.
I got that. This little sucker. I remember that from Black Hawk Down. Those will snap back into the body. So you gotta get a good grip on them. Pinch it.
Disgusting.
Ew.
And so he runs off to go get the bag, right? Mm-hmm. And so Saeed's in the caves. Boone's there. He's like, ugh, I like drama. I want to come with you.
You tell me we're torturing Sawyer.
We were stabbing Sawyer. Oh,
I could just tell them about my time hanging out with Shannon. That's torture, right?
And then Shannon's like, she has kind of an arc in this episode where she's starting to be more humanized and like loving to her brother because she's in need, right? Like, Boone, don't leave me alone. He's like, oh, of course I wouldn't. I was totally going to. And by the way, that was maddening me because Saeed is just standing there watching this like relatively meaningless drama between Shannon and Boone. And like, dude, he's fucking dying.
Like, Saeed was legitimately like, well, maybe Boone wants to come. I don't want to leave him. I don't want to be that. I already stabbed a guy. I don't want to.
Like, don't make me run back by myself. Yeah, is my bro coming or not? I need to know. Like, dude, take the medical bag back to the incident. Jeez. And then, by the way, meanwhile, Son's over there sniffing Michael's plants. Jen sees that.
It sounds so wrong when you say she's sniffing Michael's plants.
That's what I noticed. And then.
And I love, Jen comes over. He's really unhappy. And Michael's like, dude. I'm telling you,
don't
even start.
We assume he's unhappy. They speak Korean.
I haven't had my coffee yet today.
Without subtitles.
But did he hear Son speak English? Is that why he walked over?
I don't know if that's been revealed yet. The vibe I got was that he just saw them interacting.
Mm. He saw plant sniffing.
But he is suspicious because like, how are you communicating?
Also, I wasn't able to say this because I wasn't on the recordings, but I fucking knew she knew English. I was like, I knew it.
Did you
I
call
knew.
That?
Yes,
she did.
I was
I
fucking knew it.
She'd anyway, been studying that
I just
shit.
Had to, I just
indication.
Had to say that. It's like, I fucking knew it.
Yeah, that was a good episode. That was fun times.
Anyway.
Yeah, so he's angry. And then Michael's like, I'll beat your ass. Don't do it. You better not. And Jen's like, that's fair. And then Sawyer tries to talk Kate and Jack into letting him die. Because again, he hates himself. And he tries to goad them into it too. Like, Jack, I'd definitely let you die. I don't even like you a little bit.
Spit in your mouth while you gasp for air.
I don't even know where arteries are. But if I did, I wouldn't pinch yours.
No, especially the groin one. Ew.
Yeah. I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. That's what.
I would unplug your life support to recharge my phone.
Just to finish Candy Crush level 48.
I don't even need to because I got enough lives to last the whole day.
And then I love how he's like bleeding out and he's just like, yeah, Kate and I already made out.
Nothing else to live
Nothing
for.
Nothing else to live for.
He's pretty charming, don't you think?
And then Jack's like, oh, what? What?
I know. And I love even in that moment, there's like
the
childish. Huh? We were going to build dams.
We were going to literally build a life together.
Plot twist. He's more jealous of Kate.
That's true.
True.
What if he's just like, in that moment? Kate's like, what's going on right now?
The real opposites attract is Jack and Sawyer.
Yeah.
I ship it.
Hey, Doc, I love how out of breath you are.
Yeah. I'm getting there, too.
You want to be out of breath of me?
Yeah. So anyway, we go back to another flashback, and it's where Sawyer, we think, is meeting the future letter writer. this little boy walks out, and he's like, deal's off. And I guess this is where the big twist is. It's like he didn't have the heart to go through with it because he is a good person. Madison,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he was going to con these people, but then realized that they have a kid and he could ruin their marriage.
That's the same thing that happened to me. It's literally identical.
I've become the man I devoted my life to hunting down. But his name was Sawyer.
He leaves all
my
the
name
money
is Norville.
There. You know, so like he throws both briefcase. I'm so confused.
Not Norville. Sorry.
Like I need to know why he left all $300,000 there, including the $140,000 that belongs to a guy who's going to kill him.
We already know he's not good with money.
I'm really bad with it. I get so emotional.
You just leave it. Here, kid,
take this. I wish I had.
He gets in the car.
Grand.
He drives home. And he's like, ah, fuck! I left the damn money. Shit.
Jessica.
Hey, real awkward. But can I have my money back?
I got some ice cream.
Got some ice cream. Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan. Back on the island, Sawyer wakes up. I guess he's been healed by the magical toolkit that Saeed brought. He's all wrapped up. Kate's there reading the letter. She's like, look, you want to be hated. I get this. Check this out. Bicentennial. That means you wrote this as a kid.
Okay.
Sure.
I did the math. I know how old you are.
Yeah. You're not Sawyer. That's this guy, I bet. Like, she put a lot of shit together. And he's like, you're right. We don't know what his real name is, right? And
don't you feel sorry for me.
And then he's like, I'm sad now. Get out.
He white fangs her. Yeah. Get out of here. Go on, get.
Hits her with a rock so she doesn't return. And then we cut to Sun, who's rubbing guacamole on Shannon's chest or something. And
guacamole.
And Jen's mad because that's their special time, you know?
I usually get the guacamole.
It's like, this bullshit.
I laughed so hard when Jack came in and he's like, what is it? Eucalyptus.
I mean, it does.
Stupid Jack.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I should have thought about that.
God.
You know, like koalas eat.
It would have been so much funnier if he's like, parsley. And they're like, no, it's not no. It, Jack.
Wrong herb.
Cilantro. Nope. One more time. One more try.
Almost.
Lasagna. You're getting further away, Jack.
Lasagna. Fucking Garfield doctor. We cut to Charlie packing up Claire's stuff, and then he does this whole cute, I found you some peanut butter, and then pulls out an empty jar and pretends. I'm just going to go ahead and say that joke probably wouldn't have actually landed with anybody, much less a hungry, starving, pregnant woman on a beach. Like, you told me you had peanut butter.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing like a cute thing now. I'm going to fucking kill you.
You're not funny.
I have in my notes, he does a Robin Williams Lost Boy dinner party moment from Hook. Yeah. Remember when they're all like pretending?
Mm, it's delicious.
Food. So good.
I do love his setup where he's like, I have to warn you though, it's extra smooth.
If anything, you have to warn people when it's extra chunky.
Yeah, that's the one you warn people for.
Are we team chunky or team smooth?
I like them both.
Okay, I like them both too. Fair.
But I do prefer chunky on occasion, but I almost always buy the smooth. Does that make sense? But every now and then I get a real chunky hair at my ass.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you do.
Why?
You're just craving it.
Why?
Why?
Yeah. Claire loves that.
Babe, she's like, oh, you're so cute.
Oh, you're so sweet.
You all, everybody are going to raise my kids. And then Kate is out looking at the ocean and Saeed is leaving. I swore to never kill again. I broke that promise, so I have to banish myself. Also, somebody needs to walk the shore and map the island, and I'm going to let the only person I trust do it.
That's me.
Myself.
I'm doing it.
I don't know if you're picking up what I'm saying. I don't trust you.
I don't trust anybody. I don't trust your shaggy ass.
Anyway, that's what he does. So I guess we're not going to see him for a few episodes, or maybe he is just going to be by himself in a few episodes. I don't know. So we cut back to what's kind of a montage, and it's another song I assume that Sawyer wrote. Battered and torn, tattered and worn. I must kneel to fight, which is like a, is this like a worship song? Friend of mine, what can you spare? It goes on.
It goes on.
I was not a fan
of the music that they chose.
We see Claire moving into the cave. Sawyer's like about to burn that letter. Maybe a crucial crossroads in his life, but then he decides not to. And then
didn't? I thought he did.
He does not burn the letter, right, Steve?
No, he does not.
Oh.
He lights his lighter, he starts to burn it, and then he goes,
"I don't want it.
What if I think of some more lyrics and I can't find paper?"
I could sell this paper.
Any hoozle. That's the end. Steve, you know what it's time for.
Oh my gosh, guys. It's time for this episode's version of Beach Please.
Beach Please.
Got all stank on there. This is the segment of the episode where I give you guys a little bit of trivia about the episode we just watched. Guys, there's not a lot of trivia about for this episode. But I did find a couple items that I thought you might find interesting. And here they are. This is the first episode in which a flashback did not directly involve how the person got onto the island. So we still have that to look forward to, theoretically. How did Sawyer get on this island? Because everyone else kind of showed how they got there, but not this one. Michael DeLuise, who plays David, the husband. Michael DeLuise or David?
Both.
Yeah, Michael DeLuise plays David, who is the husband that Sawyer is conning throughout this episode. You might know him, guys, better as TJ from Gilmore Girls. He is also Alan from Wayne's World, one of Wayne and Garth's buddies in the band.
Wait, who is this?
Michael DeLuise.
This is the husband that Sawyer's conning.
In the flashback.
Or for you big nerds out there, Tony from Sequest.
Ryan Sequest?
Ryan Sequest, yeah. Alternatively, his wife Jessica is played by Kristen Richardson, who you may better known as Samantha from Rockstar.
Wait, the movie with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah.
And Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah. Or the stewardess in Jarhead. She doesn't have a lot of IMDb credits. And then lastly, in the original script, I thought this was interesting. In the original script, Boone and Shannon's roles in the episode would have originally gone to two brand new characters who would debut. Richard, a man in his 50s, and his pretty wife, Mary Beth. Their lines remain largely unchanged, but slightly changed in the beginning to kind of make sense for why Shannon now has asthma, an affliction she didn't have up until this point. So originally, this whole thing was centered around two new characters that we had not met yet. But I guess at some point they were like,
what
hey,
you're saying now.
Let's actually rewrite this so two characters we already have met are the ones who are dealing with asthma problems. And so Boone and Shannon were given this task to, I guess, elevate those characters since they haven't really done much so far this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Especially Shannon, who's just been kind of like bitch on the beach.
Bitch on the beach.
Yeah. So I was excited to give her a little more to do. Yeah. Oh, she's got asthma. That's a nuanced woman character.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Woo! Woo!
Women do be having layers.
I'll be honest, guys. Our next segment is Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. I don't really have any. Like, I'll try, but I'm going to be honest with you. I was hoping that, like, in talking about the show with you guys, some things would stand out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they did.
I'll be honest with you as well, Kit.
Never lie to me.
I feel the same way. I do have an order of three moments, but it's one of those things like you can move them around in any order. I don't really have a preference.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I mean,
what's your number three? I'll just see what comes out of my mouth each time it gets to me.
I have how many? I have six written down, not because they're my favorite moments, just because these were moments.
Yeah, things happened.
Of all the moments, these three are three of them.
These, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to rank these. So this is like, I say number three, but it could be whatever. But honestly, I enjoyed the Claire and Charlie moments as we deterred away from the turd moments that was Kate and Sawyer together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just general, like your number three is Claire and Charlie's moments? I think
it was like the peanut butter scene. I was like, that's cute. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's sweet.
Okay. Right. Steve?
My number three is the read the letter, Kate, scene. Just because I thought there was some tension in there, like character tension of like, you don't know who I am, read it. And just like her reading it and then just his like his stare at her. He has a very threatening, piercing gaze. It's a little intimidating. So that's why I put it as number three.
Yeah, that's also my number three. I do, like I said, I don't think they're doing it very well at this juncture, but I do see where they're going, and I don't hate the idea of a guy in general, just kind of bare bones Sawyer down, right? A guy who is purposefully acting like someone who deserves nothing but hate and loathing from everyone else because he has nothing but hate and loathing for himself, but he's actually really decent person who's capable, right? Who has tried, we've seen on multiple occasions to help the group live up to his word. One time he just got rebuffed and said, all right, then fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of tragic if you think about it. So I do think he's an interesting character, but also through the lens of these early aughts kind of rapey vibes that he's putting off, it's tough. But if you just see where they're going for, I do think.
If you just look over, you know, surpass the rapey vibes.
Just a little bit.
If you just look past everything.
Just look past it all.
At the risk of sounding like really douchey, I do think sometimes you, like if you're, especially if you're watching a movie from like the 60s or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what I'm working on a big project for a movie theater chain on the New Hollywood movement. Mm. And it's like, so I'm reading this book called Easy Riders, Raging Bulls. These were terrible people. All of the heroes of cinema. Right. Like Dennis Hopper was like beating his wife all the time, like just snorting blow and running around. Warren Beatty's just like they're all having sex with like, quote unquote, women that they found. Like they don't even know how old they are or anything. And they're just throwing them aside all the time. Like these were just like.
That's why you were saying, quote unquote, women. Because they're not of age.
Probably. Yeah. Well, I don't know. But it's just like the way that it's written is just like and this is all very commonplace. Like we're talking Warren Beatty. We're talking Dennis Hopper. Even like Jack Nicholson and shit was hanging out with all these people. Like all these heroes that we love were right there between like sitting next to verified pieces of shit. So like having been someone who's been in the world, I'm just assuming they just aren't talked about as much in those conversations, but weren't doing great things either. All that is to say, like, you have two choices, right? You can understand, okay, I'm glad we're getting better and there's more protections and there's different like ways that we do things in society and there's still a long way to go, but I'm still going to watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and have a great time because it's a great story. Or you can just say, I just can't watch, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
All that is to say, I think there's a little bit of that with parts of this show where I'm like, I see what they're doing with Sawyer. I like it. Super gross at the same time. Mm-hmm. But that's my number three. Wow, that was a long answer.
I loved it, a moment that
I didn't even like that much, but because of the slim pickings.
hey, it led to a good discussion. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Madison.
No, it was good.
You're number two.
My number two other moment. truly just Jack punching Sawyer in the face.
Fair.
I thought that was great. I was waiting for it.
He's got some good weight on it. He like hurt his whole shoulder on the first punch.
He really leaned into it.
Does that mean your number one's going to be Kate's little snap punch to Sawyer?
Actually, I think Jack punching him and Kate punching him deserve. Mm-hmm. We can file those.
Joke's on you guys. He likes that.
I'm into that, Freckles.
He said that fake punch.
My number two is the, like what Madison said, the Charlie and Claire peanut butter pantomime. It's very sweet, very cute. These are very sweet and cute characters. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is off in the woods and the caves being all like edgelords and shit. And then you got Charlie and Claire being actual human beings, which is nice to see. It was a much needed digression in this episode, I think. Like if this episode did not have like, hey, it's messed up stuff going over here. Let's hang out with real human beings for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I think it was much needed. And that is why it's my number two.
Nice.
I think that's a good read on that. for some reason, as much as I love Dominic, I think it's just the time that I've taken away from the show. I was a little confused during some things, you know, like my brain was spending some energy being like, wait, what's going on again? Where are they at in the story? Because I think I would have really adored the interaction between Charlie and Claire a lot more normally. But I spent a lot of the time kind of being like, shut up, peanut butter. Like, what's going on? You know?
Does this mean you're going to call Claire peanut butter now rather than Preggers?
It is probably a less offensive name.
PB.
PB.
Peanut Preggers.
Charlie's trying to be the J.
Whoa.
I like it.
I do like that. That's
pretty
funny.
I like that.
You know, I don't think you're ready for this jelly. Remember that?
That's what Claire's saying in her head.
Yeah.
My number two favorite moment, I guess, is when Sawyer said, where is it at?
I'm strapped to a tree in an island of mystery.
Yes. I'm just going to throw that out there as one.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Madison, your favorite moment of episode 8. Confidence, man.
I wouldn't know if it's my favorite. None of these are really my favorite.
It's Sawyer walking up out of the ocean.
No. I guess my favorite is probably the big plot twist where Kate miraculously, you know, solved the case of, you know, oh, the letter is actually young Sawyer. And we learned that about him. That's probably my favorite.
And his real name is Norville.
Right. Which
it's a weird first guess for her to have.
Right. I noticed that. So do we ever learn his real name?
No.
I was going to say, because he's still Sawyer. Like, his name is stamped on all Wikipedia pages, all many pages.
So. I don't think we'll ever learn his real name. But that's just a theory.
What if his real name is Jack?
Norville? Oh.
It's Jack. That's why he hates Jack.
He's like, stole my fucking name.
My name's Jack.
I'm also a doctor, but I didn't want to act like I was copying you.
It would be so funny. They're actually super fucking similar. Hey, my dad died too. I was getting his body as well in Sydney.
I didn't want to like look like I was stealing your backstory.
Yeah. You were just so forthcoming with information.
This is just being stranded on an island etiquette, man. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to have different mysterious backgrounds.
Different ways to click.
Yeah.
Steve, what's your favorite moment?
My favorite moment is your number two. It's Sawyer saying, where I'm strapped to a tree on an island of mystery, being tortured by a spinal surgeon and a genuine Iraqi.
Genuine.
For whatever reason, that line made me laugh, and it had enough whimsy to it that I'm just like, yeah, I like some whimsical line delivery sometimes.
You are prone to whimsy.
I am.
What is my favorite moment?
What is your favorite moment, man?
I don't know. I'm going to say Sun rubbing guacamole on Shannon's chest.
It's a good moment.
I'd love to see her cured of asthma.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than asthmatic attack.
Would that work?
Like if you put eucalyptus does on your help, chest?
Like it's like Vicks vapor rub, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff has eucalyptus in it. I don't know if it would be effective enough for asthma.
If she was having like an asthma attack, and someone's like, get the eucalyptus jar.
I could use some
and
right
like
now.
They're just like chucking it on her. I could too.
They just like raspy. Dump it like.
The whole truckload.
Is that the same noise of
I think the Foley artist, yeah. It was like, we need to double up on our sound bites.
Same one. Who are we going to give Passenger Princess to? The best performance? Madison.
Oh.
So I have Sawyer and Saeed written down. And
who are you going to go with?
I think Sawyer, mainly because it's like, quote unquote, his episode. Mm-hmm. And I also think it takes a lot to be a hated character on a show to embody this, like, yeah, I know people don't like my character. And so just kind of like leaning into that and stuff like that. So that's why I'm going to give him best performance.
My passenger princess is going to Naveen Andrews, who plays Saeed.
Nice.
The reason why I don't give it to Sawyer, Josh Holloway, it's just like I said, the direction of that character doing a lot of just this juvenile pouty, I got sent to my room. Like that's the energy he's bringing to a lot of scenes, which I know he's a very talented actor. And I just think like with this specific episode, the direction and writing of the character wasn't a hit. They were trying something. I know what they're doing. I know they get better at it. But in this episode, it wasn't great. Whereas Naveen Andrews is always wonderful. He's always great. And I just like the idea of a guy who's like, hey, I'm going to fuck a dude up because it's the right thing to do. But I'm also pissed. And then just realizing, hey, that, okay, ah, shit. Sorry, I'm gonna walk into the sunset. I did a bad thing. My bad.
Yeah, I would say he's the most consistent performance as of up until this point. So that's a good pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of all the actors, like when you think of the consistent acting, it's not the leads. It's the more the background characters, like Naveen Andrews, great. Daniel Dae-Kim and Eunjin Kim's great.
Mm-hmm.
Terry O'Quinn's great in every episode he's in. But like Dominic Monaghan's also really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Evangeline Lilly, Josh Holloway, and especially Matthew Fox are very uneven in their directing so far.
They're bebopping.
The talent's there. It's just, it hasn't been polished, I think. But because they're more exposed, whereas the other ones have limited screen time compared to them, so they're more exposed. You can see their flaws a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Sawyer's the most exposed so far.
Oh, so far, yeah. It's very cold.
I'm going to go with Jorge Garcia.
Oh, okay. Which
I should have.
Hurley?
That was should have been my favorite moment because that worked. That scene worked for me, especially playing off of Dominic Monaghan. Come on, man. No peanuts or not. Like, no, dude. Like,
that was
a
Jedi moment.
Yeah.
I love Hurley.
I'm just going to give it to him.
It's so funny watching this show in its early beginnings, knowing where things end up and just kind of like, man, I want, give me that Hurley. Why haven't we gotten a Hurley episode yet? Because there's so many damn characters.
Yeah.
You know?
So now we got our lost and found moment.
Now it's been a while, guys.
It has been a minute.
So
do you have the running list? Don't
I
you,
do.
Steve?
I do have the running list. So if you don't remember, because it's been a long time.
This will be great
time.
To know, like, because I don't remember if certain huge things. Like, did we ever find out Kate's crime? I don't think we did.
No.
Okay.
No. We didn't find out exactly what she did. So listeners, this may be old hat for the listeners, but for us in this room, I think it's going to be a very good refresher for specifically you guys, but also myself, if I'm being honest. Lost and Found is a segment where we're keeping track of all of the mysteries that are being brought up in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to keep track of what gets answered, what gets asked, and at the end of it, we'll have a good tally of what they delivered upon mystery-wise. So we're going to run down the list. First up, what is the monster? We know it's beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
But we haven't heard from the monster in a while.
Yes.
And Locke is the only one that has seen the monster, correct?
Yes. But he did say it is beautiful.
That's so interesting.
What if it was just Sawyer naked in the water?
He's like, look at that monster. It's beautiful.
Kate's like, I know.
I'm never leaving. All right.
We have what happened to the plane, what exactly happened to it to make it crash.
Yeah.
Why is there a polar bear on the island?
Huge question.
Where are they? What are Kate's crimes?
Mm.
Why are there French people? Oh, we can answer this one. Ooh. This mystery was, what is Sawyer's letter?
Nice.
Oh, there was a letter mystery.
There was a letter mystery. Yeah.
Solved it. Thing, yeah.
Boom. We can cross that one off the list. Next up is, who is the woman Saeed has a photo of that he's been carrying around? Why did the monster spare John Locke? And why is Locke secretive about seeing it? What's Jack's deal, professional and personal?
Why is he always out of breath?
Why can John Locke walk again? What did Jack do to his dad? Because remember, there was that episode where he did something to his dad that made his dad, like, fall off the wagon hard.
Yeah.
Where are the hairbrushes?
We don't know.
Do you remember that one episode where they're like, why can't we find hairbrushes?
Hairbrushes?
The
monster took them all.
I need to look beautiful.
I need to. It's a Yeti. I needed to brush my hair.
It's Buffalo Bob.
Buffalo Bob.
Would you fuck me, Long?
But it's me. Buffalo Bob in drag.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun. Goodbye, horses. where is Jack's father's body?
Yeah.
Who were the dead people in the caves?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we can scratch this one off. What does Son's dad do? Or do we know that one? He's some sort of mob boss.
Yeah, he's a mob guy.
Yeah, we can scratch that one off.
Mafia stuff. Something like that, yeah.
And then lastly, who attacks Saeed?
We don't know.
Now, are there any mysteries that were added that we should keep track of in this episode? I don't know if there were.
No, I mean, what's Sawyer's real name if you want to be real petty?
But I don't think we'll get the answer to that.
I'll be petty.
Okay.
What's Sawyer's real name?
I'd love to be Penny.
Norville.
Is it Norville?
Is it Norville?
I hope it is. That would be
it's
great.
Dinkley.
Mr. Dinkley.
Mr. Dinkley.
But other than that, I don't think there's any other sort of mysteries that are posed in this episode, which is interesting.
Yeah. Could Charlie and Claire actually taste peanut butter?
Where did Charlie get the invisible peanut butter? Because I want some.
I want some.
It's extra smooth and it looks good.
Makes you crave ice cold milk. Mm. If only I had some, what's it called? Biscotti pie.
Oh, yeah.
Banoffee pie.
I don't know why this just popped in my head, but I feel like Lost would have been a good Lego game. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like the video game Lego?
I don't know why that just popped in my brain.
It's just Sawyer beating the shit out of plane parts to collect Lego.
It's like one of those intermission episodes where it's like, there's like a scene happening and it's literally just like Jack hitting a Sawyer on the ground while you're like doing a mission.
Quick time event.
Yeah. You're like building
Lego games.
You're building that noise.
We got to build a game.
I really don't know why that just popped in my head, but I think this would be such a good Lego game.
That's actually 100% true. If they were making Lego games to the extent that they are
Sudeikis
now.
Jason Sudeikis is voicing the smoke monster in the Lego movie.
Hey now. Main Justice. I don't know. That's the Jason Sudeikis character I went to. But yeah, that's Lost and Found.
That was good. Episode 8. We're back, baby. I hope you guys are enjoying this. Tell your friends. The Lost recap show is back.
We're back, baby.
We have to go back.
Every week, here. We have to.
And you know what, guys? We're back.
Yes.
We're doing Lost.
Yes.
The strike's over. You know what that means?
Woo.
Kit, you got to talk for me.
Oh,
go off mic.
Merch. We got some extra merch. A new Lost shirt.
She's sexy.
Lost. It's a good shirt. They just sent us ours today. We're going to be donning them all week. You can go to the link to the merch store. It's in the bio.
Steve,
it's on all of our socials, on our link tree. Go to streamingthingspod.com. Go to patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribe at a variety of tiers to get extra bonus content. We're covering Knives Out this week.
Yeah.
That's the November movie voted on by our patrons.
Get your knitted sweaters.
I got mine. You can't tell because the photo.
But I am wearing a knitted
sweater. She's accidentally wearing one as well.
You're just approved to you. I'll turn my camera around.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Wow. There's live there Madison.
I'm not an AI person. Look, five fingers on each hand.
That's true. That's the only way to tell.
It's the only way to tell.
Look forward to our coverage of the movie Seven, David Fincher's great film from 1995 later this week.
With Madison.
Thank you all so much for tuning in, for being patient, for being so lovely. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. That's all the time we've got for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things Lost Again.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.